Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Melanie Zweighuizen with us. Melanie has spent over 30 years working alongside families, in addition to raising her own three children. She believes that with the right mindset, tools, and knowledge, parents can create a peaceful, joyful home while raising confident, emotionally healthy kids. Through personalized workshops, coaching, and small group classes, Melanie has helped many parents with littles to emerging adults have stronger connections, better behavior, clearer communication, less stress, and greater harmony at home. Welcome, Melanie. It's great to have you.
Thanks for being here,
Thank
Melanie.
you. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
I wanted to start by asking you about a story that you shared in your writing, how when you were a high school teacher and you also had your kids at home, that it was so much harder to parent your kids at home. And you decided or had the realization, oh, wait, I just need to do the same things I do in the classroom with my kids at home. So, can you tell us about what was happening there?
There was absolutely some form of disconnect because, as a high school teacher, you got all these kids all day, had great connections with them, very few discipline problems. We were rolling along, and then I would come home and everything felt so hard. And I just, there's just something that doesn't translate to your own family, I guess. But until I had that realization, it was a struggle. And so that's why I really believe in mindset because I had a whole different mindset at school than I was coming home to. So, yeah.
What was that? Tell us a little bit more about that mindset. And I'm kind of curious about this because we taught preschool together and I
Oh,
can
that's
relate
right.
to this. And I remember like, yeah, give me all these kids. We had, I don't know how many kids in the classroom. I'm like, yeah, bring it on. It's great. It's easy. I go home. I'm like, ah, two
Exactly.
kids, too much. So
Exactly.
tell us a little bit about the mindset that you kind of shifted.
So we'll talk more about it, but really at school, I wasn't so focused on their behaviors. I was focused on the kids, who they were, wanting to connect with them, get to know them, build a relationship with them. But when I got home, I was so focused on managing all the little behaviors. I mean, they're littles at that time and they're going to come with behaviors, of course, but I tried to manage those instead of seeing my kids. And that sounds horrible. I love them, of course. And I think most parents love their kids to death, but we just, there's something about it. And I just think that our mindset is what needs to shift in order to really be able to connect with our kids. I was just reading a survey actually from 2023, and they asked American parents and non-parents about what style of parenting they thought was most effective. And 75% of them said that it was authoritative, not to confuse it with authoritarian, that brick wall, my way or the highway, but the authoritative where we can find kind and firm and find that balance. And yet I kept reading and I thought what was so interesting is that later on in the survey, 65% of those same parents were asked about do they think that people are hard enough on discipline? Do they think their disciplines are teaching their kids because they have to be hard? And those parents said no, 65% of those. And then later in the survey, they were asked about the types of discipline, and lots of parents responded, yes, it should be timeouts and you should take things away and you should ground your teens and you should, even to the point of spanking and slapping kids. And I just found that so interesting. But I think it's the same type of disconnect that I was experiencing between school and home. I could say what I needed to do, but then to translate that into, the home and all I saw was behaviors that I had to take care of and manage and one crisis after another after another. And I understand what how those parents feel in that survey and what's
Yeah.
going on.
So I
Totally.
find this fascinating. I want to make sure that I get it. So the parents were saying in the survey that being kind and firm is this the and relationship communication is the way that they wanted to parent that would be the most effective. But then when
Correct.
they talked about actual techniques, it was actually more authoritarian techniques that they were talking about that we need to do more of. Not
Exactly. And
so,
that's exactly
yeah.
where I was at. That was exactly
Wow.
where I was at. But I mean, if we look at history in the early 1900s, right, we had the behaviorists, and they focused on obviously behaviors and how could we change those behaviors through punishment, through rewards. We all know like Pavlov's dogs, right? And then not until around, I'm really bad at dates, maybe 1920s or so, through the 70s, then became the developmental psychologists. But I think that didn't take hold like the behaviorist ideas did, because I mean, if you see a behavior change, right, on the outside, well, it's working. Well, this is great. And this other stuff is more internal and looking at, you know, what's age appropriate and what's going on internally, and that internal view of behavior that something is going on inside, and that's why they're expressing that on the outside, was just, it was harder to measure. And I think, I know for me, I was raised by behaviorists, and I think a lot of us were, right? And I mean, that affects our parenting, how we show up, whether we want it to or not, how we were raised. And so I think you can understand a concept in theory, but then those behaviorist ideas are still rolling around in your mind, like, oh, but we've got to do something. We've got to crack down. We've got to take something away. We've got to punish them. We've got, you know, and so kind of that mix. And it was just interesting to me that that survey was 2023, and parents are still, I think, struggling to put all of that together and make that
Yeah,
shift, because
for
it's not
sure.
easy.
Yeah,
It's not.
and you know, it really mirrors what we hear a lot in Happily Family from parents coming to us. They kind of are like, I know what I don't want to do. Like the behaviorist kind of approach. They don't want to do that, but they don't know what they can do or what they should do. And so what often happens is they don't do anything. And then there's this permissiveness that they don't like and kind of just gets to a point where that blows up, and then it's like falls back to the only thing they really know. So the
Yeah, can
go
I
ahead.
well, just want to add, I think it was
Yeah.
Alfie Kohn, Kohn, who talks a lot
Yes.
that we are permissive until we can't stand our kids, and then we're authoritarian until we can't stand ourselves.
Yes.
It's
Oh,
and it's
that's, yep.
about finding this middle ground that we're seeing our kids, we're understanding what they're going through, we're having a relationship with them and communication that we get the we don't get lost on the ends of the spectrum here.
Yep.
So
Yep.
anyway,
And
yeah.
so you had
That's a
this
great point.
aha. You had this aha.
Yeah.
And so then you've been spending years working on this, right? Like
Yeah.
this is what you do. Tell us a little
Yeah.
bit about how you support parents, or do you talk through what do you do? Like, okay, so when we want authoritarian or authoritative, how do we do that? What
Right. How do we get there? How do we make that shift? I always say it's a really simple shift, but it's not easy because we have all of that. So really, it's a lot of, you know, kid, parents come to me and they're like, fix this kid. I'm sure you guys get that too, right? Fix this kid. What's wrong with this kid? I need to get a handle on their behaviors and I don't know what to do. And really working with parents and the understanding of once you have your mindset and how you show up to parent, more along the idea of stop managing all the behaviors and move into, you know what do I really want? Why am I doing this parenting thing? I want to raise kind kids. I want to raise resilient problem solvers, healthy emotionally. I think we all want a lot of the same things, but how do we get there? And it has more to do with us than it does our kids. And so I really work with parents about leading with connection first and competence second. And that's what you were saying, Cecilia, with the competence piece is it's not we just, oh, and we're all sweetsie and, you know, no, we have real connection with our kids. And also we are competent leaders that say, hey, this is the boundary. You can be mad about that. You can be upset about that all you want. And I think and is a really powerful word instead of but. And this is the boundary. I am here to help guide you. I am here to keep you safe. And I think that's, that's the beginning. I think also just reminding ourselves that not every behavior has to be a crisis. I think a lot of us feel like, oh, this moment. And so we react, like you were saying, Jason, right? We go back to this, oh, I've got to get this under control. And the only thing we know is, well, I must punish them, or I must, well, maybe I sticker chart. I don't know if you guys use that when you're in preschool, but a lot of parents still use the sticker. Well, I've given them all the rewards and they just don't care anymore. Yes, correct. And so I think just giving them the competence, giving them skills and tools and techniques, not only to connect, but then also how do you set and hold a boundary?
Yeah.
How do you guide your kids into being the kind of kids that we really want them to be?
Yeah. And it's, I just have so much compassion for parents and for all of us who are trying to
Absolutely.
figure this out because, like, the behavior approach, the, rewards, punishments, bribes, whatever, all of that, like, it feels very tangible. It and it can work instantly, but it doesn't work long term. It doesn't work for the reasons that we want it to. It doesn't actually help build the skills. So for parents that are trying to make this shift, it almost feels like, wait, I'm leaving this map behind and I don't even have a new map. So what do I have a sense that you have some ideas of what is on that new map.
Because you definitely have talked about like what we're trying to get to, right? Like we got the end in mind. And what do we do? What are those steps? What's that? What's the
Yeah, you talked about in your book chapter in the Perfectly Imperfect Family, you talked about shifting from behavior manager to growth guide. Do you want to start there?
So one of the big things about making that shift is remembering that we're not shaping our kids from the outside in. We're growing our kids from the inside out. And if we keep that in mind, I think that is also helpful. But, I talk about steps in the book, but really all of those come down to what I think is a really powerful tool for parents. And it's pause and it's curiosity. To show up with curiosity about my feelings, what's going on in my brain, how was I raised, am I bringing any of this forward into this situation? Oftentimes the answer is yes, and it definitely was for me as well. And I think it's because, I could do school, but then the parenting realm, I just automatically brought forth how I was parented. And so that's really, really difficult. And it's hard work sometimes. Like you said, I have a lot of compassion for parents. I've walked this walk, and sometimes I still have to stop myself. And my kids are 26, 28, and 30. But even with the grandkids, like, oh, hang on, what's going on? Why is this bothering me so much? Is this something that my parents didn't allow? Is this an emergency? Is this a real emergency? Or can I just take a deep breath for a second and then get curious about what's going on with them? Right? Because it's that connection between what's going on the inside and what you're feeling on the outside. Anybody ever been hangry? Right? You're not actually mad at that person or whatever. You've had a bad day and you come walking through the door and all of a sudden I'm having a tantrum, an adult tantrum about the dishes not being put away. And it's really not about that. It's about how I'm not feeling respected. I'm not feeling understood. I'm not feeling good on the inside. So my behavior looks worse than a 4-year-old preschooler. And so making that connection and giving them examples of really dig into what might be going on in your kid. So maybe they yell, anybody ever had your kid yell, I hate you? No, me too. Trigger, right? In my home, things like that when I was growing up, so disrespectful. Don't you disrespect me that way. I'm your father. All of those things. And so for me too, that surges in me when something like that would happen. But once I took that growth mindset and said, hang on, don't focus on the behavior. There's something going on, and got curious about, I wonder if I did something to hurt them. I wonder if they just need a snack. I wonder what's really going on. Maybe they had something happen at school and I haven't heard about it yet. So when I can slow down, right? And then they can borrow my calm. And when it's right, we can come together and talk. It might not be in that moment, especially with teens. When they're slamming the door telling you, I hate you, is not the time to go in, honey, can we talk? Give them a moment too. But when everybody's calmed back down, to have that conversation, to connect with them, to sit there and say, hey, buddy, earlier when you said you hated me, you must be really, really upset about something. Want to talk about it? And then eventually, if need be, we can get to the behavior of, hey, even when we're really super upset with people, we treat each other with respect, right? But I think we flip that and we just have gone for the behavior first. And then, so then there's no connection. There's no understanding underneath. And so that's the hard part, is getting ourselves calm, getting ourselves curious about what's going on.
Yeah, and there's the problem solving in the moment, and what you also demonstrated was the problem solving outside the moment. They're two very different things. And if I recognize that in the moment, even though my body might be flooded,
Their body might be flooded.
their body might be
Right.
flooded,
Right.
now's not
all the blood
the
is rushing away from my brain into my
Right.
limbs. It's not actually an emergency, even though I'm physically reacting,
Right.
emotionally reacting, maybe that it is an emergency. It's not. I can remind myself of that.
Yep.
And it makes it a little easier to get curious about the kid that's in front of me, which
And
is
sometimes
challenging. Yeah.
I would say mantras out loud just to keep myself calm. I mean, if I had to walk around in circles and say, this is not an emergency, this is not an emergency, you can handle this, take a deep breath. I think that's okay for our kids to see too, that, we're modeling how to regulate our behavior for them so that we don't hurt someone in that moment. And, my kids are great at it now. I've been teaching my grandkids that as well. And, the 5-year-old was walking around in circles the other day, and I gave her a little mantra of, hey, brain. And she talks to her brain now. And, hey, brain, are you really, really hurt? She had gotten hurt. And, are you really, really hurt? Does it hurt a little or does it hurt a lot? Oh, yeah, it hurts just a little. Okay. And around she went until, she calmed herself down. But I think that's just part of teaching kids, is saying those things out loud, showing them what we're doing inside, but showing on the outside how to do that. I think that's another really important step.
Yeah, I love that. I love the modeling. Okay, so two situations. Either I want you to talk about it's in the heat of the moment, and I realize as a parent, I'm not in a good place, and I can't get to curiosity. What do you do there? That's one situation. Another situation is I didn't realize that I wasn't in a good place, and I blurted something out, and now I regret it. Can you talk about both of those?
Sure. So I think what you mean in the first one is I'm just, but I haven't said anything, but I can't get to
Yeah,
curiosity.
I realize I shouldn't be saying anything.
I realize I shouldn't. And I think that's another thing that we can say to our kids. Right now, I am really, really angry, and I am not in a space to have a conversation. We will later. Right now, I need a moment. And to take that moment. Obviously, if they're little, it looks a little bit different. If they're older, you can say that to them, and you can say, you can, as long as they're safe, walk away, get to a space where you can get yourself, whether a lot of times for me, it's physical movement. So it would be, I'm going to go take a walk. Obviously, if they're littles and there's no one else in the home, that can't happen. But just to say, hey, mama needs a minute. And so I'm going to go, in the bathroom, or even though they always follow you in there, right? But whatever it takes to just kind of get that space away from that, I think is really powerful. And Of course, I've had those moments. But I think that translates to all relationships. When I'm upset with my husband, the same thing. I'm like, you know what? I can't have this conversation right now. I need a hot minute and to go take that space. But I think talking to our kids ahead of time as well and letting them know, you know what? Sometimes mama gets really, really mad. And I want to listen to you and I want to be in a space to work with you. And sometimes I just can't. So if I go away or if I say those types of words to you, I'm going to come back. I'm coming back because I love you so much. And we can do hard things and we can work through hard moments. And actually, hard moments happen in relationships and they can strengthen us, not weaken us. So I think conversations ahead of time, things that we can do proactively are really, really important as well. And that second situation where I've blown it, I've said it, right? We talk about repair. We talk about what's a good repair and teaching our kids what's a good repair. Now, I grew up in the generation of say you're sorry, go give it back, say you're sorry. Yeah, you guys too. I think a lot of people have. And so again, it's something that without a lot of intentional thought, we just repeat. And instead, I really want my kids to tune into the hurt, to feel the feel, to say to them, man, I screwed up. And if they're little, I might say, if I yelled, I might say, I wonder if you were scared about that. I wonder if like mean, scary mommy came out and that probably didn't feel very good. You know, and if they're older, hey, I was a jerk. And be really honest, you know, mama was a jerk. And I'm really sorry about that. But then beyond just the sorry or beyond that piece of it and acknowledging that, I want them to have a chance to talk about how they feel. I don't want to just put words in their mouth. And I want to, that's hard to hear sometimes how we hurt them. And I've bawled my eyes out that I've hurt my kids that way before. And then to say, is there something I can do to make this feel better for you? Because I'm not going to assume that, you know, that's going to be enough. It may take time. In our family, it was, we used to say, a fresh start. Can I have a fresh start? And that was then placed in your lap, the person who got hurt, and it's up to you. It's like forgiveness, right? But it was our way of saying forgiveness. Can I have a fresh start? Or can I have a do-over? And yeah. And work to repair because it's going to happen. We're humans.
Yeah.
I like to use the rewind button is one of the things that we said,
Perfect.
but that
Yep.
was like kind of like it's kind of old now because I'm thinking like tape deck, like rewind
You're
button. Now people
right.
are like, a what? Like, I mean, it still
Yeah, kids are like,
translates, but
what?
it's
What's
not quite the
rewind?
same.
Yeah.
And I like what the way you modeled that for a couple things. One was that we and what I saw and what you did is there that as a parent we have to be willing to say, I made a mistake. Like, I'm not
Yep.
perfect, right? Like, there's some
Right.
humility that comes along with that and some self-awareness. So, there's like some personal work that oftentimes we need to be doing so that we can be in a
Absolutely.
place to do that. And the other thing that I really like about what you did is you modeled it for the kids. So, that yes, we're cleaning it up with the kiddos and, you know, we're figuring out what's going on with the kids and, you know, doing everything we're doing. But it also models for them, like, this is the way to deal with it when we lose it
Exactly.
or things don't work out, or like, here's, and so, like, that's a nice motivation for me as a parent to do it, not just to clean it up, but also to role model it for
Also,
the
the roll
kid.
out. Yep. Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you about focusing on the problem and not the person. What does that mean?
That's what I was talking about earlier. When I was teaching at school, I focused on the kid, right? And the relationship. And yeah, they had behaviors and they said some incredibly mean things. And, you know, I worked with teenagers, I worked in high school. So, it happened sometimes. But there, I was always able to be in that more curious place. Well, not always, but be in that more curious place and focus on the kid. And probably because they weren't mine, right? It's a little bit different story when they're yours. And I can get to that space of, how did I carried you for 9 months and I birthed you and I, you know, and I can do all of that. But so I would come home and saw behaviors more than I saw my kid saw what was going on with them, or could get to that curious space with them. So that's what I mean by that.
Nice.
Which is interesting. I just want to say, like, I can relate to this because I could have compassion for other people's kids. They could do all kinds of stuff, and I'd just be like, okay, and and like really see them as a person, but they didn't push my buttons like my kids did. And it's a kind of a fortunate, unfortunate thing that I've got that relationship with my kids, that what they'll say will push the buttons, but it was me recognizing and actually picking up tools that I did as a teacher that I could take and actually apply at home. And I just had to remember to do that. But it is interesting how that is so different. Almost like if I could figure out a way to be more curious about my kids as if they weren't mine. That sounds really weird, but like
No, I get it.
but getting curious about our kids, like I think what happens for me a lot of times, I'm like, I already know what's going on. Like I jumped conclusions. I'm like, yeah, I know what's happening here, and I've seen them their whole life, and I know exactly what's going on, and I stop being curious, and I don't have that kind of history with other people's kids, and so I can be more curious, I think.
That's a really, really good point. And I do think that's part of what's going on when it was my own kids, is I assumed, and right, we make those assumptions of, well, I know what's going on. I know what the problem is, instead of getting curious about it like I would at school, because I'm like, I don't know. And it was a lot easier. I think you're right.
I took this a step further in my head when you were talking about treating your kids like they're not yours. I was like, oh, what about in relationships? I could treat my spouse like my spouse isn't mine. Maybe that would work too.
Maybe that would be helpful. We got to try that next time. Let me
We
know how
go.
it goes.
Okay. Anyway, I digress.
Get curious.
Get really curious.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You also talk about asking open-ended questions. What does that sound like? How do you do that?
I think that goes back to Jason's point of assuming what's going on. And I think with little, sometimes, right, when we're teaching them about emotions and what they may be feeling, we offer that type of language to them. Although I still like to add, I wonder if you're feeling angry right now. I wonder if it looks to me like but as they start to grow and gain the language and can talk about that, I like to put it back in their hands in some respects. So if you're having, if you're having a problem getting them to do something, or enter into, I don't know, all I can think of right now is like the messes, right? Clean up or whatever. I can ask them questions that get their brain thinking. This isn't my problem. Right. And so it's part of the problem solving steps with them is, so what's your plan for getting your homework done? Or what's your plan for, and so giving them information, but also opening up their thinking with open-ended questions. I do like what's your plan for a lot, because they can't just, sometimes they'll go, oh, then we can enter into, okay. Sounds like you don't have a plan. Would you like some help coming up with one? So that, we don't just go, well, figure it out, kid. That's how I was raised. Figure it out. You're on your own. But rather, we're a team. And although it's not my problem, I love you and I want to help you figure this out. Would you like some help in the problem-solving process? And sometimes my teenagers would say, no, I've got it, mom. I'll figure it out. Okay, great. Would you share that with me later on, what your plan is? Because I'm really interested to know. Yeah, I guess. And they might do it reluctantly, they're teens, but a lot of times it was getting them to think instead of just, mom, solve this for me. Even though they wouldn't say those words, but
Yeah. I liked what you said, that one of the options for our kids is, I got this. Yeah, that it's not, that we're not requiring them to submit their plan for our approval. And we're trusting them if they're like, yeah, no, I'm good. That, okay, you got that. Now, I can imagine people listening and they might be like, well, but what if they
Yep.
come up with a plan and I already know ahead that
That's
it's
a
not
horrible
gonna
plan.
work? Like, oh yeah, mom, my plan is I'm gonna do my homework while I'm on my bed with
Right.
my phone and the TV going.
Right.
Oh,
It'll
and
be great.
this is gonna work. And we already know that's not gonna work. So, what do we do in those situations?
Well, here's what I always say. We talked a lot in the beginning about where we wanted kids to end up, right? If we want to raise problem solvers who can solve problems on their own, we've got to give them that chance. And along with that comes not every plan works out. Then what do? Then we reevaluate and we try a new plan. It's not the end of the world. Let them have some choice. Let them come up with a plan that maybe isn't what you would come up with. But you know what? A lot of times they would shock me and they would come up with a plan that was nothing that I would have come up with. And it worked. It worked for them. And, you know, they learn trust and they learn, hey, I'm capable. And at least mom and dad think I'm capable and I can do this. And I think that's really important when we're talking about resilient kids. And I know a lot of parents I work with are pretty, yeah, but letting go of that control, that doesn't feel good. It doesn't. It doesn't feel good. And yet, that's why I always encourage parents to keep in mind the end. What are you after? Because if you want to solve all their problems all their life, then go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. If you would like them to learn how to problem solve and make choices and not every choice, not every problem solving solution works out. You've got to give him an opportunity to do it.
That's great. As you were saying that, it reminded me of how many times I was surprised in the classroom, and even with our own kids when they were
Yeah.
younger, the ideas they had that I'm like, yeah, let's just see how that goes. And they had like these great ideas that never occurred to me. And
Yeah.
that was humbling for me and also real evidence of like, yeah, I can be curious and I can allow and also it really told them like, you have agency, you have good ideas. You like there was a lot of being communicated there by them doing their ideas and me wanting to see them, but it was also a lot happening for me of like recognizing like, hey, I don't always know what's going to be happening. And I saw some ingenious things happen with kids and how they problem solve things that
Yep.
yeah, it really just blew me away. And so I think it's great that we get
Same.
to learn from our kids.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up here, do you have any final words or anything you want to leave parents with? You said so many great nuggets here and so many pieces for how we can relate with our kids.
I think just, you know, keep doing the hard work. Obviously, anybody who's showing up for a parenting conference is willing to listen, willing to work and put in that time and effort. So, you know, encouragement to you. There's enough blame and shame out there. We're here to encourage and empower you in your parenting. Get the help you need too. You know, I'm so thankful that everybody's here at the conference to learn as well. But if you need something beyond that, you know, reach out for that and don't be ashamed of that. I always talk about parenting as it's the one job that we get zero training in. Or very little, you know, at the hospital, they say, here's how you diaper, here's how you do this. See ya. Good luck with that. And so don't be ashamed of that. Reach out for the help that you deserve and keep going. Just keep going. Doesn't have to be perfect. We're after progress, not perfection.
And Melanie, you have a number of resources online and you obviously do coaching. What's the best way for people to find out more about the free things you have as well as your services?
Yeah, at my website, gen1parenting.com, there's free resources on there and blogs, and you can download my chapter for free on there as well. So, yeah.
Great. We'll include a link in the speaker
Okay.
notes
Sounds
to
great.
that where they can download the chapter from The Perfectly Imperfect Family. And this has been a fantastic conversation with you. A lot of fun. It's always great to be talking about parenting and these perspectives. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us and be here with all of us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.